You're listening to KX93.5 FM.
FM. 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the Friendship Show.
Friendship Show.
With your hosts, Dawn Price, Mark Miller, and Scott Hayes. The Friendship Show.
Friendship Show.
Friendship Show.
All right, I guess that's time for the Friendship Show. I'm Scott Hayes. It's Saturday morning. It must be Saturday morning, 9 a.m. in Laguna Beach, and we've got a full house this morning. We have guests walking in with sunglasses, heavy jackets, secret guests today. We're going to play a game, Guess Who the Guest Is. Also in the studio, huh? Mark, you want to say something? Mark's here. Mark's yelling at me. This is Mark Miller, by the way, co-host, but not today. Today he's guest.
Oh, good morning. I'll tell you this, our special guest flew in to be here this morning from San Francisco last night.
Is that true? Wow, I can't wait to hear. Okay, listen, we've got a very interesting show lined up this morning with our two guests, one being, I've spilled the beans, Mark Miller.
Thank you.
Yeah, but also in the studio we have on the board associate producer Megan Jamerson. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning.
And Megan walked in, by the way, with a moon boot. Do you want to explain the moon boot on your right or left ankle? Is that?
It's on my left.
What does that mean exactly?
It's a walking boot or cast, right, as you could call it. I injured my Achilles tendon last week. So.
Well, let's be specific. You injured it how?
I injured it pole vaulting.
Pole vaulting.
Yes. Running down the runway.
Yeah.
Felt a nice sharp twinge.
Ouch.
And it looks like I tore a little bit of my soleus, which is a calf muscle, and then some inflammation around the
case. Ooh, how does that happen?
Hey, you're the guest this morning, by the way.
Not yet. I have a couple of minutes.
Oh, okay.
How does that happen? Like, is it because, like, you go from running to standing still, or?
I think it's been a problem for me ongoing. Uh-huh. So, overuse. It could have just been I didn't have enough rest between trainings or something.
So how long are you out of circulation for?
I'm not sure. I'm supposed to be in a boot for a week, so next Thursday I'll take it off.
And is this
going to out?
Is this going to affect negatively your career as a pole vaulter?
I'm
you
hoping
think?
It doesn't.
Okay, well, you have a good attitude about it.
Yeah, I have to.
All right. Well, very good. Very good. Hey, also let me introduce a new studio team member here, April Johnson, who's here to begin to learn the process of working the board and stepping up to the plate on the radio show. Let's let people hear your voice, April.
Hey, thanks, Scott.
There she is. That's April. By the way, April's a great singer, by the way. Maybe one of these days we'll be able to play one of your songs on the air. Would you be okay with that?
That'd be great.
Good. I may do that this morning. Okay, we're going to take a short musical break. I have something lined up. I forget what it is. What is the music, by the way?
We have some Christmas music. The first one, I believe, is Chuck Berry, Run, Run, Rudolph.
All right, Chuck Berry, Run, Run, Rudolph. We'll be back with guests. You're listening to KX93.5 FM.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph. Randolph ain't too far behind. I'm reeling like a merry-go-round.
Okay, KX93.5 FM, I'm Scott Hayes. This is the Friendship Show, and this morning we have a mystery guest that flew in from San Francisco this morning to be here. Mark, would you like to introduce our guest this morning?
I would love to. Our special guest this morning is the incredibly talented and vivacious Miss Ava Burton.
Yay, Miss Ava! Would you like to say good morning?
Morning, everybody. I'm not that special. I'm heard here all the time.
Oh, that's true. She does drop in sometimes during the week to say hi.
And you got a beautiful accent to go along with that name.
Thank you. Yeah. And I did fly in from San Francisco, but only because I had to come home.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Oh, you'd never been to San Francisco?
No.
Yeah, did you fall in love?
Yes.
Yeah.
Everyone really, does. Really, really. Loved it. Yeah. Amazing, fantastic city.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, congratulations. That's a fun trip, no doubt about it. Mark, you're not going to start adapting a dialect, are you? Going to take her accent on just a little bit?
I will say that oftentimes when Ava and I are working and we're just hanging out together, I oftentimes put on my sort of faux British accent.
Well, let's hear what it sounds like.
I would just sort of say, oh, love, where are we going, love?
All right, fair enough. Hey, let's talk about why you're here. There's something going on next Thursday night, and this is sort of a special Christmas performance. Mark, why don't you talk to us briefly about what you guys are doing, what you and Ava are doing next Thursday night, the monologues, the reindeer monologues. Explain to me what the reindeer monologues are.
Is that next Thursday?
I think it is, isn't it?
Oh my goodness.
Have
just
you
around
not learned your lines yet?
Uh-huh.
No, as evidenced by the fact that I have the whole script out in front of me in case someone asks me to do something from it. Next Thursday at BC Space on Forest Avenue, downtown Laguna Beach, Ava and I are going to be performing sort of this kind of little cult classic Christmas show called The Eight Reindeer Monologues.
Okay, so a little backstory here. You guys last year performed Love Letters at the same venue, which was, I believe, really well received. I mean, we attended it and thought it was great. That experience, I got to believe, was fun for you, Ava, no?
Yeah, it was great. It was great. And we said, I went to England straight after that. And I said, we'll do something as soon as we get back.
Right.
As soon as I get back, we'll do something that's taken us this long.
When was that? Oh, because this the summer came and then we got off track a little bit. It's hard because our little makeshift theater company is quite small at this point and terribly underfunded. So,
what do you mean, makeshift theater company? What, was it you and Ava?
Yeah,
that's it. That's
it's
it.
Just us.
It's me and Ava.
Well, okay. But the reviews from Love Letters, really, I thought you guys did a phenomenal job last year at Love Letters, and I got to believe that this year's performance is going to be equally as engaging. Yes.
I think the response that we got from Love Letters was great and very encouraging, and I think we very much enjoyed working together. It was a lot of fun. It went together pretty easily.
And there's nobody else to work with.
Right. Right. And we're the only two we know, so it's a bit of a shotgun marriage, but it seems to be working fine now.
All right. So this is a dark, dark Christmas comedy, The 8: Reindeer Monologues. And if I've got sort of the premise correct, Santa gets accused of what exactly, Ava? Mm. Mark? Mm. Is that a surprise?
I don't know. I just have a hard time saying it.
Well, sexual harassment is an understated term.
Sexual harassment is an understated term,
yeah,
yes.
So, I mean, he gets accused of doing something, and he gets accused by the reindeers.
He gets accused by... It is the reindeers, all 8 of the reindeers, giving their take on Santa's accusations.
Okay.
On the accusations of Santa.
Right, exactly. So, I'm curious, how do you come across... I mean, to pick your next... project. How did you come to this one?
That's why it was so took us so long to get something together.
Because it was hard to find a second project, or
I think there's a lot of things that go into it. You know, I mean, Ava is a classically trained actress, but Hamlet isn't really in our future.
Okay.
Until we, until we figure out some creative way to do something like that. So, I think part of it is trying to find a script that sort of fits the needs of what it is that we're doing just logistically. Like, what is something that the two of us can do together
right.
that doesn't have a lot of production costs behind it that we can put up? And then I will say, Ava's one of the reasons that I really like working with Ava is because she's a real stickler about she doesn't want to do something unless it's good. She doesn't want to.
Oh no! Why would you bother?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, she has a very high standard of like, this works. This is a good piece of theater, and this I would do. And so part of it was, I think over the summer we probably read 6, 7, 8 different scripts, all of which Ava rejected.
Oh, okay.
We read a lot. What? No, I was very. I went away to England and said and thought, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this. And I picked a play and I sent it to Mark and he went, no.
So how did you two?
That is true. But yeah. I would say, but that play took place like in an English library in 1960 or something. It's like, where are we going to get books from 1960?
So how did you settle on this? I got to believe this is not a family-friendly holiday musical, right?
No, don't bring your kids.
Yeah, so I mean, it's adult-themed. Let's be clear about that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and so why an adult-themed holiday? What do you want to call it? Monologues, I guess.
The script appealed to both of us.
Okay, and what was it about the script that appealed to both of you? Yeah.
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One is that I think that the characters, the way that the playwright has put this together, I think the characters at times are extremely funny. There's some very funny things in here, and so it is, even though it's dark and a little blue, it is funny, and so I thought that was very appealing. I think some of the characters are very interesting and fun to perform. And then I think when it's all said and done, I think that there is an important underlying message to the whole show. And so you come away not just having laughed at something that is somewhat tragic. You've perhaps gained a little bit of insight to an overarching theme.
So I want to come back to the message toward the end of this morning, if that's okay, after we've heard, because you both have agreed to kind of perform a couple of the little vignettes from these monologues this morning. Yes,
have
no?
we?
I hope you have.
I may have spoken for you.
So let me see. Can either one of you name all of the reindeers very quickly?
Dasher.
Comet.
Dancer.
Blitzen.
Donner.
Vixen.
Cupid.
Hollywood, who was really Prancer.
Right.
Oh, he changed his name?
In this he does.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. All right, very nice.
There's a little known reindeer called Hollywood in this show.
Rudolph isn't in this.
He's not.
But it's about Rudolph.
He's talked about, yes.
Yeah, is Santa in this or is he just talked about?
He's just talked about.
He's just talked about as well. Oh, why are we whispering, by the way?
Because we shouldn't mention Santa.
Oh, we don't want to mention Santa. Gotcha.
Rudolph's not in the show because he has had a nervous breakdown and has been hospitalized.
As a result of what happened to him by Santa?
As a result of having witnessed Santa's vulgar behavior.
Okay. So, to be clear, how many reindeers are there, by the way? 8 or 7?
There's
or
eight.
Okay. And you play 4, Ava, and you play 4, Mark. Mm-hmm. Is that sort of how you came about this?
Yeah.
And how do you kind of get into the role of a reindeer? I mean, when you get together and start rehearsing, what do you look for? How do you know that Prancer is any different from Vixen or whatever?
Because of the script.
Okay, so
tells you in the script they're people. They're not really reindeer.
Yeah, although, yeah,
I did spend a good few days making antlers for us to present like reindeers. But that, you know, it's like any character in any play. The script tells you how it's supposed to be.
Okay, very nice, very nice. And are you both wearing antlers?
Yes.
Oh yeah, Ava last week like blew it out 3 days building antlers.
So Mark and Ava on stage wearing antlers. Is there any other costume changes as you go?
Yes, every reindeer is very different from the next, personality-wise. And they all have a costume and their own personally produced antlers to go with their personality.
Great. So each reindeer has its own unique personality.
Yeah. Oh, there's 8 costume changes in this show.
Wow.
This is a huge production for us. We've memorized the lines, which we didn't have to do in Love Letters.
No, we didn't.
And we changed costumes. It's a huge production for us.
I saw Annie Wareham last night. She said, "You're going to be off book."
So then how did you choose which reindeers, Mark, you were going to represent and which reindeers Ava was going to represent? How did you come to choose those?
We sat down and read through it a couple of times mm-hmm. and decided which we felt most comfortable with okay. each. But we had to have four each.
Are the reindeers gender specific, by the way, as you read the script?
Yes.
Oh, they are. Okay.
But so. I've taken on one of the men.
Oh, interesting.
Some are, but yeah, some are. But Ava does do. What do you call that? What do you call that when a woman plays a man?
You mean there's a term for it?
I think there is.
Yeah.
A theatrical term? I don't know.
I don't know.
Either. I don't know.
I don't know either. But Ava does play one male character.
Okay, fair enough. So very quickly, if I were to ask you to give me sort of your quick hit on the following eight reindeers, how would you describe the following eight reindeers? First one is Dasher. Who's playing Dasher?
You are.
Mark. Who's Dasher?
Blindly committed.
Blindly committed to what?
To the idea of Christmas.
Got you. Okay.
Are these short, or do you want me to elaborate?
No, short. Whatever you want.
Yeah, I would say blindly committed to the idea of Christmas.
Very nice. Cupid.
Gay and camp.
Very nice. Hollywood.
Self-absorbed.
Wow. Blitzen.
Feminist lesbian.
Comet.
Born again.
Oh, very nice. Dancer.
Sweet. Confused and ooh,
Jewish.
Okay, it's in the script.
Okay, Donner.
Oh gosh, that's a good one. I'm to tell you the truth, I'm still sort of working on that character. I would say simple and naive.
Simple and naive. And then Vixen.
Victim.
A victim. Oh, okay, interesting.
She is the victim. Yeah. She doesn't behave like a victim, though, does she?
I was going to say, I would disagree with that. But.
Okay, then go on. Tell me. It will help. She's very sassy.
Sassy. Yeah. All right,
I would say, how would you say? I would say provocative.
Provocative and sassy.
Yeah.
Provocative. I love that.
Provocative, but she's the victim.
All right. Very cool. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to give us a summary of the story. We're going to take a musical break. I think the next song is... April, what's the next song? I think it's the Chipmunks, actually. Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Great.
I figured it'd be good.
Awesome.
But who's going to give me the synopsis here of this story? So when we come back, we're going to listen to a little of that sort of those vignettes from the play. Monologues.
I would say that essentially this story is Santa Claus has been up to this point rumored to having been sort of a lecherous, vulgar, inappropriate man who has used his position in the world to sort of do whatever he wants. And he's in a marriage that doesn't work, and he fights a lot with his wife. But finally, he has stepped over the line, and the eight reindeer, Vixen comes forward to actually say that Santa has been inappropriate in his behavior in the toy shop. And the rest of the play are the eight reindeer sort of choosing their sides and explaining their perspective on Santa Claus and Christmas. That's really what the story is.
Yeah, that's great. That's a nice summary, by the way. And if you read the reviews, there's no middle ground here. People either love it or they don't. I think it's that sort of controversial type of play. So, all right, we're going to come back and listen to a few skits. I think it's Alvin and the Chipmunks. Megan, take us away, please.
Now, look, fellas, I've been walking around the North Pole with you for 2 days, and I'm cold and tired. And well, where's the surprise you brought me here to see?
Around the next corner.
Rudolph, boys.
Who's Rudolph? Tell him, Rudy.
I'm Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I have a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows.
All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer.
Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
Then how the reindeer love him as they
I'm going to see if I can find myself a nice, warm igloo. Try to get along without me, if you possibly can, because I have to go.
Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say,
Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
Then how the reindeer loved him, as they shouted out with glee.
Simon?
I want a real fast go-kart. And I want a real live pony.
How about it, Albert?
Well, first I still want that hula hoop.
Okay.
And a hot rod.
KX 93.5, Scott Hayes. This is the Friendship Show. In the studio this morning, we have Mark Miller, who is not playing co-host, but guest, with Ava Burton, who are here to talk about their Eight Reindeer monologues performed this Thursday, this coming Thursday at the BC Gallery downtown. And before we begin, I thought I would ask everybody to give me your best chipmunk voice. Mark, starting with you.
Oh, what song did they just sing?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I can't even do it. Oh, no.
Ava, let's hear you.
That's much better.
Reindeer. Megan.
I can't do it.
April, try it once.
Rudolph, I don't know.
All right, there's the end of that. That didn't go very far.
You see, that's what 3 years training at classical drama school gets. Best chipmunk impression.
Well, I think you won the contest, though. You did a nice job.
You did.
So.
It was very nice.
Okay, so walk us through this skit, these monologues. You're going to do a short little vignette from this, and can you kind of set it up for us?
I'll do a little.
And let me keep in mind, by the way, there was a memo that went around by Tyler that there are certain words and phrasing you can't use. Now, I don't know if the script has any of that in there. Does it by chance?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't want to get in trouble. So make sure you're using something that obviously doesn't use those words.
Yeah, I know you guys know. We're not going to get in any trouble.
Okay, but by the way, I mean, when we go to see the play next Thursday, those sorts of expressions and words will be there on stage.
I cannot stress enough that it is a show for adults.
All right, I just want to make sure we're clear about that. Okay, so set us up.
Dasher is one of the characters that I play in the show, and Dasher is this, he's kind of, you know, what I would say is sort of like an upper middle management sort of reindeer, and he has been on the team longer than anybody. And he is blindly committed to making sure that Christmas happens. And he's the kind of reindeer where it doesn't matter what the process is. The only thing that matters is that Christmas has to happen. And it's Dasher's responsibility to make sure that it does.
We understand his motivation.
Yeah, exactly.
Very
nice. I don't know what you call that. He's like a warrior sort of thing. So,
was that part of the, probably
this warm up?
All right. Dasher is a character, and he might say something like this. My name is Dasher, first reindeer from day one, number one from day one. I have been making the Christmas run longer than anyone except the fat boy himself. I have been the reindeer every year for as long as reindeer could fly, so I don't have to put up with this. One time, I was not the lead reindeer. One time. One foggy Christmas Eve. Yeah, right, fine, whatever. I don't want to talk about it. Just that one time, he was the lead reindeer. And what did it get him? And where am I? Right
back at the front of the pack the very next year and every year since. So you want to tell me it was fog? Fine. It was fog. I'm not challenging that, and I don't want to talk about it anyway. All I'm saying is, fog my reindeer butt.
Dasher might sound like that.
Wow. You know, I'll tell you, that was fun to watch, too. I mean, you know, the listeners can't see you at this particular juncture of the game, obviously. Next Thursday on stage, they'll be able to witness the facial expressions, the body language. Your mouth took on a whole different sort of crooked smile. Your hand movements and body language were amazing, right? How did you come to sort of perfect? I'm going to say perfect. That character with all of that. You just sort of work it? How does that come about?
Really? Well, I would say it's far from perfected. But,
I liked it.
I think, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think every actor, I think, kind of finds their own sort of process. And so I tend to work, I tend to work from the inside out. And so I think you kind of try and find, like, what's sort of the emotional center of a character.
Okay.
And how would they approach certain ideas, and then I try to work with, like, what's the rhythm of a character vocally, because so much of what you do is the theater is the spoken word. And then I think the other things kind of fall into place after that. And once you sort of understand who the character is, then I think the choices of what to do physically I think fall into place more naturally. Now I have to work really hard, because I spent many years mugging for a living. So,
what do you mean mugging for a living? You mean mugging people or being? What do you mean?
Mugging is a term that they use for sort of like being way over the top.
Gotcha.
And you know, oftentimes I've been described as being made out of rubber and
rubber. What do you mean? I don't follow.
My body gets a little.
Oh.
I tend to do a very physical sort of thing, and my face gets very involved.
Well, you did here,
right?
Yeah, and I thought it was great though.
Well, I think in some instances it works. In that character, it really works. But in the process of making this show, sometimes, like, I rely on Ava, you know, to watch what I'm doing. And she'll say, you know, I like the character. Could you control your physical actions a little bit, please?
Right, right.
Because what will happen is one character will look the same as the next.
Right.
And you don't want that. You want
them
to
sense.
Be different.
Well, that's going to be very difficult, I think, with 8 different reindeers. I mean, reindeers are pretty much looking the same for the most part, but it's your characteristics, your voice inflections, your facial expressions, all that stuff that helps define those characters,
yes,
along with the monologue.
Of course, we are the same person playing the same thing, so we do look the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, you've got to work hard from inside. It's got to come from inside, because if it's just coming from the outside, it won't seem real. Does that make sense?
Right, exactly, because it's not just about putting on a voice and some mannerisms.
And
yeah, it has to be about what's the intention in the center of the character, and you know, what's their social and political belief and all of those sorts of things. And you really have to do that for every character.
You know, the one thing I never understood, I wish I had the ability that you two have. The one thing I could never figure out how you overcome is sort of that initial awkwardness of having to break down who you are to become somebody else. It would always seem very difficult for me to try to do that. Does that make sense? Is there a technique that people use to overcome
it?
Mark stepped right into it.
It happens to you in your first term at drama school, and you just do it. And you just when you've done that, then you can do it every time.
Okay.
Well, I think it depends on what the situation is. You know what I mean? I think it depends on what you're walking into. I mean, I can do it this morning because I've been rehearsing for,
right,
you know, probably 4 weeks and doing it. And so I have a certain amount of confidence that I have a handle on what it is that I'm doing. I think when you first walk into a read through, or when Ava and I, you know, first got together and, like, how are we going to do this? You know, we usually have a couple cups of tea, and then, you know, and then you read it, and you get sort of comfortable with the language, and then you don't do it all at once. You add things as you go along and say, this time when I do it, I'm going to work on this aspect of it, and next time I'll layer this on top of it.
Yeah.
And so you build it a piece at a time. You don't just throw it all out there
right,
at once.
No. Sorry, I misunderstood what you meant.
Are you two both on the stage at the same time?
Never.
Never. Okay. And so one walks
it's
off.
It's in our contract.
One walks off, the other one walks on, that sort of thing. So there's no interaction between the two of you, ever.
Just in the dressing room.
Just in the dressing room.
No, it's funny because the last play that we did, we were on stage together, but we never looked at each other.
Right, because you were reading letters, right?
Because we were reading letters from each other. We weren't in the same space.
Exactly. Yeah. In our next production, our goal is to actually have dialogue with each other and acknowledge that we are both in the same show at the same time.
Is there what's on the set, by the way?
Just nothing.
Nothing at all?
Just us.
All right, very cool.
We don't have a set. We don't run to a set.
All right. Ava, you want to set us up for this next vignette?
Okay. I'm going to do Cupid, who, frankly, is my least favorite. Hmm. No, he's not my least favorite. He's not my least favorite of the reindeer, but I dislike doing him, so.
But wait a minute, tell me why you dislike doing
because it's the biggest stretch for me, because he's a gay man.
Oh, got you.
It's really...
So how did you tackle a gay man? Hard. How did you come into... Go ahead.
What's the word? I'm just going to do it and you'll see what
All
I mean.
Right, you got it. Can you set us up at least in terms of what his story is, or...
He was born in a zoo, which, you know, as far as the other reindeer are concerned, I mean, you know, it's not good to be in a zoo.
Right.
You're naked and people come around and throw money
it's
at
like
you
an
or
orphanage
take pictures.
For animals.
And, you know, this is possibly why he turned out the way he did.
Okay.
And he's very, there's a lot of sadness to Cupid. Some bad stuff's happened in his life, mm-hmm. but he's, comes out as this gregarious camp gay man.
Very nice. All right.
So, you know, really, it's a stretch.
The reindeer monologues.
Hi, I'm Cupid, the goddess of love. Oh, I'm sorry, did I say goddess? God of love. Oh, I never get that straight. Really, what kind of parent names their kid after the Roman god of pornography? It's no wonder I'm screwed up. I mean, how was I supposed to have a quote-unquote normal sexual development when my name is synonymous with romance? Oh, Cupid, make me quiver with your magic shaft of love. You know how many times I've heard that in my life. You know how many times I've said no? About half.
You're funny.
How'd you come up with the laugh? The laugh seemed to be very unique to that character. You just sort of made it up as you were going along. Or...
It's in the script.
What do you mean it's in the script? Go ahead and laugh. It says
it's
laugh.
In the script. It says the goddess of love. Ha 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 ha.
Gotcha. All right. Very nice.
I think that. I mean, but I get a minute. I think that's, you know, certainly that's Ava's work. Is like how do you take dialogue like ha 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 and turn it into something, you know,
that seems natural.
Right. Turn it into something that makes sense.
Well, beautiful. Now, if we want, we can take a musical break, get you guys sort of calmed down and ready to come back as somebody else.
Do we appear to be anxious and over the top?
No. I'm just saying. I mean, if you need to switch character, if you need a break.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take a little musical break. What was the third song, April? Do you remember that we put on there? I don't remember.
No.
You know? Lenny Bruce?
No. That
might not go well.
Here's the third song that we downloaded. Megan, take us away. We'll be back.
Mommy snitched on me. I did a dance on Mommy's plants. Climbed a tree and tore my pants. Filled that sugar bowl with ants. Somebody snitched on me. Oh, I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Mommy and Daddy are mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas. 'Cause I ain't been nothing but bad.
So you better be good, whatever you do. 'Cause if you're bad, I'm warning you.
Are we on air? KX93.5 FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is the Friendship Show. In the studio this morning, Mark Miller.
Ho, ho, ho.
And Ava Burton, who are here to discuss and perform a little bit of the skits from the 8: Reindeer Monologue.
There's nothing about a colon in this show.
I looked it up. There's a colon after the word. It says the 8, and then there's a colon.
Oh, I thought you meant that the show is somehow about a colon. I mean, that's not in the show at all.
A Reindeer Monologue's at BC Space Gallery downtown, and I was asking, what time is the performance next Thursday?
7:30 p.m.
And if people are interested in purchasing tickets, do they purchase them at the door? Do they go online? What's the deal?
We have a box office number now.
You have a box office number?
We have a box office number. And
what does that mean?
Do we still have a box office number?
We still have a box office number. It is.
You mean a P.O. box?
No, like a phone number that people can call to get reservations. Because I would say this, that if people really want to see the show Thursday night, I would strongly encourage that you call the number and get a reservation. We're not asking people to pay ahead. You can pay at the door.
What is the pay, by the way?
$20.
Okay.
It's not a pay. It's not a pay.
Oh, it's not a pay. No. Oh, absolutely not. You
it's
don't pay
suggested
a cent.
Donation.
I got you.
We would never ask people to pay.
A donation?
Please.
Okay. And you want to give the number out, Mark?
310-948-5798.
You want to give it again just to make sure?
310-948-5798.
Very nice.
Because we, there's not, I don't,
how many people does it seat?
So
not many.
If we had between 40 and 50 people, it would be very, very, very extremely full. And we have a lot of reserved seats right now. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you want to come see the show, call that number,
okay,
and get a reservation, because right now there are preciously few seats left.
And if people want to show up at the door, I guess that's a possibility.
They should, because you know it's always possible that people reserve and then
don't show up,
drop out. Yeah, and that's go ahead, Mark.
The other thing is that if, you know, by some strange occurrence, there is just an overwhelming sort of need by the public to see this, we have considered adding, you know, perhaps a second show.
Ooh, very
maybe
interesting.
Maybe.
There is food or drink that night?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Anything else we should be, you know, prepared for that evening?
You might be asked to sing Christmas carols.
Say again?
You might be asked to sing along in some Christmas carols.
Are there Christmas carols singing in this performance?
I don't know.
Christmas songs. Not necessarily carols.
Oh.
Okay. So
what's the difference?
What is the difference?
Well, Jingle Bells isn't a Christmas carol, is it?
Oh, it's not?
A Christmas carol's a sort of religious song, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Maybe that's true.
Oh, I didn't know.
Good. Yeah, very nice.
Oh, we wouldn't do that.
So are we singing, those of us who will be there, Jingle Bells?
No.
We don't know. We're meeting with the musical director today.
There's a musical director.
There is a musical director.
How interesting. All right. Let's go to the next skit or vignette. Ava, I think you were going to take this next one. You want to tell us who and what?
Okay. This is Blitzen. She is very, very mad about Santa's behavior.
Okay.
She's feminist, and she is up in arms, and she comes out and she says, "The sleigh ride is over. It looks like Santa Claus has finally gone too far. Sure, He's acting surprised and confused and hurt by the allegations. That doesn't mean he's innocent. It means he's crossed that line so many times, he's forgotten it's wrong. He didn't know he could go too far. After all, hasn't the jolly old elf brought joy to generations of boys and girls the world over? Well, I hate to break this news to you, but it isn't joy that makes those children stop believing in Santa Claus when they hit adolescence. It's fear.
Woo, Ava! Wow. You know, you lost your accent completely there.
No, I
felt like you lost your accent there.
Yeah, no, I was putting on an American accent.
Yeah,
that's
okay,
why
I'm
you
sorry.
Think I don't have an accent.
Hey, let me ask you, I always wondered that. I mean, I think the guy who takes the lead on Walking Dead is English, but he has an American accent. I think I have that right. One of those guys. Anyway, how do you work on an American accent? What do you have to do with your throat or your voice or your mouth to get rid of your...
All accents are different vowel sounds.
Okay.
So you just got to work out where they're different. And sometimes I know it's wrong and I can't hear it. Like, I can hear it's wrong, but I don't know what it is. You pick me up on something.
Sometimes the difference is...
Where you put the emphasis on the
which
syllable,
yeah.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah, like I was saying confused, but you would say confused.
Oh, okay,
so
gotcha.
So my emphasis was on the con, and the American emphasis was on the fused.
Is that hard to do? It seems like it would be to me. Or does it just come naturally for you? Like some people, languages come naturally?
No, I have to work on an accent, I do. Mm-hmm. But once I've got it, I've got it. But it is just working out what vowel sounds are different and the emphasis. It's not perfect by any long shot. It's not.
I thought it was well done.
Well, thank you.
Well done. Is there one particular reindeer that you're playing that you relate to more than any of the others?
No.
No, they're all the same for you?
They're all a little wacko.
All yes. Right. Mark, what about you, my friend? What's the next reindeer monologue short skit you'd like to grace us with?
Well, Comet is one of the reindeer, and Comet comes out, and he sort of has had a conversion because he had a spotty childhood, and he used to run around and get in trouble, and then he had an experience where he was actually rescued by Santa Claus and his work with troubled deer. And so he credits Santa Claus with saving his life and turning him around, and so he's a staunch believer in Santa Claus, and he has sort of had a conversion of sorts. And so what he would say about what Blitzen has just said would be something like this. When you listen to Blitzen's feminist ranting, she wants you to forget this is the man who established the first reindeer team in the world to admit does and bucks on an equal basis. You want to talk about sexual harassment? Talk to the elves. They were towel boys in an Irish brothel when St. Nick found them. And he took them out of there, and he set up the Toymaker Apprenticeship Program so they could retrain, learn skills they could use. He sponsors Big Brothers, Big Sisters of America, the Special Olympics, UNICEF, all this, and the Christmas run. And when you hear what they're saying about Vixen or the latest version of the Rudolph story, it doesn't sound like the same man, because it's not. It's not the same man. It's two different men. One of them is a lie, and the other is the real Saint Nick.
You know, it's interesting. Your breathing changed all of a sudden. You had a more sort of a hyperventilating sort of structure there. I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, I liked it.
I think that's the... It's a different rhythm.
Yeah.
It's a different rhythm, and so it's probably a different breathing pattern then.
Do you think people are going to be able to relate to this? The people who come to the performance are going to be able to relate to this? And on what level do you think they'll be able to relate to this? We got a phone call coming in.
Uh-oh.
No? Okay. Uh-oh. Darn, that would be interesting if you did.
That could spell trouble.
Don't go away, Megan. We don't have to
That could spell trouble.
Uh-oh. You ready to work this April if we can? All right, go. Mark.
Yeah, I think people can relate to it. I mean, hopefully they enjoy the performances, and sort of what Ava and I, you know, sort of bring to it as actors. I think there are, you know, funny ideas and some funny notions in this script that I think will, you know, allow people to laugh and enjoy it. But I think at the end of it, I think what people can relate to is that really, I think what the play is talking about is exploitation. And I think really the premise is that here is a man, an individual, an institution who has sort of used his position in the world to exploit the people around him. And finally, someone is saying, I don't care how big you are or how famous you are or how powerful you are. You have to be accountable for your actions and your words. And at the bottom of it, that really is what this play is about. And I think people can relate to that.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. Is this something that sort of surfaces toward the end of the monologues, or is this some sort of your sort of read on what that sort of thematic statement is?
No, I think it very much comes across in the play. Mm-hmm. And I think by the end of the monologues, I think all of the characters have to take responsibility for their beliefs and their actions. And then it's really up to the audience to decide who's at fault. Is there any fault? Yep. Or is this just a conversion of events and individuals?
All right, very nice. Are there any sections of the monologues you're leaving out because they're too racy?
No.
Only
a little bit because we found it boring.
Oh, okay.
We just left out like a couple of paragraphs because right. It sort of didn't add to the story. It didn't help the story go forward.
Yeah.
It's kind of added to the characters. It just added to the explanation of the character's personality, but it was unnecessary.
Okay, very nice. The donations, by the way, Mark, where do the donations go, or what's the deal on that? You said $20.
The donations go to
right
cover,
back into the theater group.
Yeah, they go to cover the cost of doing the show.
Very
basically.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, man. Tell us again when it is.
It's next Thursday, December 19th at 7:30 p.m. BC Space, which I believe is 235 Forest Avenue.
Next to the Candy Baron.
And it's a great venue, by the way.
Yeah.
Just wonderful. You want to give the phone number out again, Ava, just so people can have it.
310-948-5798.
Very nice. Do you think this performance will ruin my image of Santa and Rudolph and the holidays in the end? Do you think I'm going to come away jaded and all down about the holidays?
I hope so.
I have to say, every time I see a Santa now, I'm like, ew.
Really?
Well, yeah. Oh. Mm. Yeah. But we've been working very closely with this, so...
Very nice. Let me ask you a couple of personal questions. Mark, how are you spending the holidays?
As people know, I moonlight as the Associate Executive Director of Friendship Shelter. And so I will be spending Christmas Eve at Friendship Shelter with 32 homeless people. And for anyone who has never experienced Christmas Eve at Friendship Shelter, it is one of the most amazingly magical evenings you would ever experience. So I'm looking forward to it.
That.
Well, this is why. Because in this community and the people that we work with, so many people do so many things to take what could possibly be the most lonely, saddest night of a homeless person's life and turn it into something that is absolutely fantastic. So here's what we'll do on Christmas Eve is there's a family who will come in and they'll make a Christmas Eve dinner for everybody with, you know, the roast beast and all of the trimmings and those sorts of things. And then we'll all have dinner together. We'll go upstairs to the living room, the community room, where a group of girls and their mothers came the other day and trimmed the tree. So it's all lit and beautiful. And then there will be 32 bags full of gifts that CLC, Community Learning Center, has gathered together for us. And everyone at Friendship Shelter will get this huge bag of fantastic gifts with their names on it.
Wow.
To make sure that they have a present to open on Christmas. We will do our sort of annual reading of The Night Before Christmas is sort of our tradition. We have a little bit of a spin that we take on it. Do you want to hear? Do you want to hear just the opening line?
Mm-hmm.
So we do the we read The Night Before Christmas, and of course I am the one who reads it. And so the opening line is this: "'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, everyone was drug tested, even the mouse."
That's funny.
So we have a little bit of fun, and then there'll be a couple of secret Santas that will stop by, and they'll hand out some extra special gifts. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful, simple evening.
Very nice. Very nice.
Oh, wonderful. It sounds
Ava,
amazing.
How about yourself?
Well, I'm actually going to be staying on the Queen Mary in Long Beach.
Oh, wow. It's haunted, you know.
I know.
Did you hear our show on the ghost hunters? Oh,
we've
man.
Had their ghosts on the show.
Yeah.
What? You've had the Queen Mary's ghosts on the show?
Yes, yeah. We have.
Yeah, we had
That's
recordings.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. So possibly I'll be at accident and emergency with a broken ankle because we're going to be ice skating on the Queen Mary.
Oh,
wow,
dear.
They're ice skating on the Queen Mary?
Yeah, they've got
How
an ice skating rink. And yeah, that's going to be fun.
Have you stayed on the Queen Mary before?
No, never even been there.
Well, then what you need to do definitely is sort of research the ghosts, the hauntings of the Queen Mary. And while you're there, see if you can track down one of them. Are you into that? Would you be receptive to kind of reaching out for ghosts?
I'd be terrified.
Well, April, by the way, April, can I tell this story? You have
sure.
a picture, right?
Yeah.
Here, tell the picture. What's the picture of?
You stayed on
the Queen Mary.
Stayed on the Queen Mary, my boyfriend and I, and he took a picture of me. I was going to send to my mother, and I looked at it immediately. It was on my phone. So there
we're
was
in your room.
We're in our hotel room getting ready for dinner. And there was a face in the porthole going outside. Literally
up.
A face.
And it's not like a human face, by the way. Do you have that on your cell phone, by the way?
I don't.
Oh, that's great. It's not a human face either.
It's very
if
ghostly.
You showed it. Pardon me?
It's very ghostly.
Very ghost-like, yeah. She was, and there's this in the portal, in the window, looking into the room, is this very ghost-like face. It's creepy. I mean, just really creepy.
It'll be like that, like Harry Potter scene, you know, when he goes down and like you have to get in the bath and then that girl comes and she swims in the bath with him all the time.
What's that?
Do you mean the girl in the boys' toilet?
Yes. It'll be like that. Go to the, is there still a swimming pool there? Or did they take it out?
I don't know if there is. No, apparently not. Ava, have a good time.
Thanks. I'm not going for the ghost. I'm going.
Are there any other one more skit either one of you want to do before we have about looks like about 3 minutes here before we have to cut out? Is there one more? Ava's looking at her monologues.
Oh, okay. I can do a very quick one from Dancer. This is she's not sure if something happened or it didn't, and she's really confused about the whole thing.
Okay,
and she's. This is in the middle of it, and she says, "I don't know why I keep coming back to this, but I was out by the toy shop that day, and I guess I thought I heard strange sounds like screams. But I didn't think anything of it, because I've heard strange sounds out by the toy shop before, and I just figured it was Santa fighting with Mrs. Claus again. They fight all the time. That woman is just nasty to him. Especially if she's been drinking. That's why I don't go to the office Christmas party anymore. I tell them it's because I try to keep kosher, but really it's because Mrs. Claus is always there, and it's awkward anyway, because she's the only one who isn't actually involved in the Christmas run. She doesn't make toys, she doesn't wrap presents, and once she's had too much to drink, which doesn't take long because she usually gets started before we even get back, she starts tossing elves across the room or trying to drown them in the punch bowl. She hates the elves. I don't know why."
Very nice. Wow. What's the ultimate, Mark? What's the ultimate outcome of the story? Is that something that you can share, or is that something we have to kind of be there to discover?
I don't think there is an ultimate outcome. I think it's up to the audience to draw their own conclusions about what has happened.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Would you agree?
Yes, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Any other surprises? Are there? Is there any sort of musical interludes, or is there a sort of a musical bed playing in the background? Is there anything?
There, we're going home to discuss this right now.
Uh-huh. What are the options?
What are the options? Well, I don't know. We have a special musical guest.
We have a special musical guest, but he might just be doing musical direction as opposed to singing live.
Oh, really? Mm. Oh, he might. Mm. Oh, he's in that kind of mood.
Now, who's he? Who are we talking about? Is this a capital H? He?
Yes, it's my husband, Jason Fedde.
Okay. And he's the musical director, perhaps?
No, he is.
He is the musical director.
He is. It's just we haven't decided... we were discussing it on the airplane yesterday. He hasn't quite decided what he wants to do yet.
Yeah.
He's very talented in that area, so I will leave it up to him.
Yeah. You know, that's saying...
He did his right in Love Letters.
Yeah,
he
and did I think his he right. wants it to be different than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't wait to hear.
So. I attended the Halloween thing they did over there at the festival grounds this year. Did anybody attend that?
You know,
they do the Pageant of the Masters, yeah. And they do this Halloween thing. Which I thought was incredible. It's like you're walking through the Titanic and all the dead people in the Titanic, and you have these ghostly images. And I just thought it was really, we had a great time there. But I was in the background, I heard some music playing, and I thought, well, that voice is sort of, I kind of recognize the voice, right? So I'm kind of looking around, and I couldn't really figure out who it was because your husband had cut his hair or something. I don't know what he did differently. But he did this song where Frankenstein or something is singing. I don't know, what is that? He doesn't even sing the lyrics. He just sort of mumbles it out. Do you know what I'm talking about? He goes, and he's doing this sort of, it was hilarious.
Yes, that was him doing his, you didn't recognize him because he had a face full of ghostly makeup on.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I couldn't figure it out. I just thought he wasn't feeling well that night. But what is it he does? He does like a Frankenstein?
But he was just doing everything like a ghoul that night.
Yeah. Well, he should try to do something like that for this performance next Thursday. Not the Halloween theme, of course, but that's what I would do. That's my suggestion. No? Yes,
I'll put it to him.
Put it out there.
All right, if you're listening, Jason.
All right, Mark, tell us again where it is, what time, how to buy tickets, etc.
Next Thursday, December 19th, the Eight Reindeer Monologues is going to be performed for one show only at BC Space in downtown Laguna Beach, 235 Forest Avenue, 7:30 p.m., if you want tickets, which are going fast, you should call
310-948-5798.
That number again.
310-948-5798.
And this is KX 93.5 FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is the Friendship Show. We're going to leave you with a song written by Leonard Cohen titled Hallelujah. And sung by our very own April Johnson.
Oh my gosh, this is one of my all-time favorite songs.
And this is April's version of that. It was recorded in Richard Bradice's studio, as I recall. Yeah?
Awesome.
Very nice. Mark Miller, Ava Burton, thank you very much, everyone. Here's Hallelujah, April Johnson, KX 93.5 FM. Megan.
I heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for me.